Today's daf is Moed Katan, daf Yud Dalet. Today we begin the third parak of Maseches Moed Katan. The third parak of Maseches Moed Katan in general deals with five topics. It deals with the ways that it's mutter to do haircutting and laundering on Chol HaMoed. Second topic is going to discuss are Nidui, Shamta, Cherim, different types of Charamim that people are Chayvin, different types of Charamim, how we do them, how we observe them. The third topic is going to discuss is the Malacha of Kosev, when it's mutter, when it's Asr on Chol HaMoed. The fourth topic is Avelus on Yom Tov min Chol HaMoed, and the final topic is Avelus throughout the rest of the year. So this parak is the source for pretty much all of Hilchos Avelus. In today's daf, we're going to talk about, the Mishnah is going to talk about who's allowed to get a haircut and who's allowed to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed, where there are exceptions to this rule that generally you're not allowed to do these things on Chol HaMoed. So for who it's mutter for, the Gemara is going to get into why it would be Asr in the first place to be Megaleach on Moed. After all, it's a great covenant for Yantiv. Why would you think that it would be that would at all be Asr? And the Gemara is going to discuss someone who had some sort of oness that's not mentioned in the Mishnah come up before Yom Tov that made him unable to get a haircut, whether he's also allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed or only those types of people that are specifically identified in the Mishnah. The Gemara is also going to talk about, we mentioned in the Mishnah, someone who's traveling before Yantiv is allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed and allowed to wash his clothing on Chol HaMoed. What type of traveler is that? Is that only someone traveling for a mitzvah? Is it even someone traveling for a dvar rishus? What about someone in between when there's something that's neither a mitzvah nor a pure dvar rishus? We're also going to talk on the bottom of Amud Aleph about a giluach katan on Moed for a child, whether he's allowed to be megaleach on Moed. And then in Amud Beis, we're going to talk about Avelus and Nidoy on Yom Tov, whether Yom Tov is doche, the observance of Avelus and the observance of Nidoy, which is also a form of Avelus, as we're going to see clearly in this parak. And then on the bottom of the page, at the end of the daf, we're going to have two different rayos, whether a mitzora is noeg tzarato beregel, someone who has tzaras, also is knowing a certain sense of Avelus. So does he observe that sense of Avelus that a Mitzora normally observes on Yom Tov? So let us begin the Perek, in the bottom Yud Gimel and Beis at the Mishnah. Ve'elu Megalchen B'moed. The following people are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Habam Medina Siyam, someone who's just come from a distant journey. When we base Hashivya, someone who's just let out of captivity. Vayotzi mi base Hasurin, someone who just was released from prison. And someone who was in a nidoy, who was in a state of nidoy, who was in a type of cherim, and therefore he was unable to shave beforehand, and then the chacham were matir, apparently, on Yantif or on Chol HaMoed, so now he's allowed to shave. V'chein misha nisha l'chacham hutar. Similarly, someone who had a neder not to be megaleach, but he was able to be shoal on the neder, and the chacham were matir the neder on Chol HaMoed. V'nazir v'amitzora ha'olam mitumasa l'taharaso. And someone who was a nazir and someone who was a mitzora that went out from a state of tumma to a state of tahara, they too are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. The Rishonim asked the question that the Mishnah should have said elu megalchin. What's ve'elu megalchin? Why does it start with a vav? That's a strange way to begin a parak. It seems like it's a totally independent topic that has nothing to do with what we were discussing in the previous parak. Tosfos deals with this question. The first Tosfos in the parak: Mishum de Tana biidoch pirkin devarim shaosan letzaruch hamoed kegon kemo mochrei peros denasim kedin kataninami ve'elu nasim shalok kedin letzaruch hamoed. Since in the previous parak we discussed things that we do letzaruch hamoed, like mochrei peros, so we mentioned ve'elu which are also letzaruch hamoed. The Ritva explains that since in the previous parak we mentioned that it's mutter to do malachos of davra aved only when there was an onus before the Yom Tov, so this parak continues to discuss malachos that we allow dafka if there was an onus kodam aregel. That's why it's ve'elu to connect to that which we were matir in the previous parak. Now we said that there are allowed to be megaleach b'moed. What does that mean? There could be megaleach b'moed. Are there no limitations on the giluach that these people do on Chol HaMoed? The Mordechai in Tav Ayin Gimel quotes from Tosefta that even those that are mutar to be megaleach hamoed, it's only betzina, not befarhesia. They're not allowed to be megaleach in an overt, demonstrative way where everyone's going to be able to see. The Magen Avraham in Tavkuf Lam Dalet explains because you have to be choshesh. People aren't going to know their personal situation. They're not going to realize that this person had some sort of ones that made him unable to shave before Yantiv, and they're going to make the mistake and they're going to think that everyone is allowed to be megaleach on Chol HaMoed. That's why it has to dafka be done bitzina. The Darkei Moshe just points out that it would turn out that for a katan, for a child who really all children are allowed to be megaleach, then they're allowed to do it befaresia. The only hesitation to allow it befaresia is that people are going to think this is a rule and it's not just an exception to the rule. Now, a menuda is an interesting example of an ones. What all these people on the list have in common is that they couldn't shave before Yantiv. There was some sort of ones before Yom Tov. The Rishonim raised the question that a menuda who is matir is nidwei obviously had some sort of way to be mefayis as baldin and to cause the nidwei therefore to be lifted. So why couldn't he do that before Yantiv? Isn't he posheya if he waits till Chol HaMoed to take care of this? So why couldn't he take care of this before Yom Tov? The Ritva and the Talmud Rashba and the Rush seem to suggest that we're talking about where he didn't have the ability to be Mephayis Baldino Kodem Regel. It was only on Chol HaMoed that he came up with the idea of how to be Mephayis the Baldin and therefore how to get out of the Nidoy. Other Rishonim suggest differently. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Rambam and the Rif that even where he had the ability to be Mephayis Baldino before Yantiv, he still had to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed because he didn't have in mind, he didn't think of being Mephayis. That's still called an ones. If that was his predicament beforehand, that he was a menuda, you don't have to assume that he would change his status. The fact that he came up with a way to change his status on Chol HaMoed, he would still be considered an ones before Yantiv because that happened to have been his status. Tosos in Dibur HaMaskel VaHaMenuda, Tosos writes that in the name of the Yerushalmi that Be'emes there Matirus Nidoy Kodem HaRegel. We're talking about a case where he did think of it before Yantiv and they were Matir Nidoy. It's just the halacha is that the Ein Nidoy Pachos Mishloshim Yom. So maybe the 30-day minimum number of days that he needs to stay in his Nidoy only ended on Chol HaMoed, and therefore Taka was an ones before Yantiv because his Nidoy had to still be ongoing even if he was Matir the Nidoy. This is the list of people who are allowed to be Megaleach. The Elu Mechabsin B'Moed. And now we have a similar but slightly different list of people who are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Habami Medina Siyam, someone who returns from a trip on Medina Siyam. Umi Beis HaShivya, someone who was led out of captivity. Vayotzim Beis HaSurin, someone who was led out of jail. Umenuda Sheitiru Lo Chachabim, someone who was in Nidoy and now his Nidoy became Hutar. V'chein Misha Nishal Lo Chacham Hutar, someone who had a Neder that became Hutar. Mitbechos HaYadayim, now the list changes. Mitbechos HaYadayim, Umitbechos HaSvarim, Umitbechos HaSvag. Hand towels, bath towels, and mitbechos hasfarim. That's machlokas rishonim, what mitbechos hasfarim means. Rashi writes that Rashi Ksavyad explains that in the second pshat that what it means is mitbechos hasaparim, the cloths that the barbers would use to cover the people who are getting their haircuts, those can be washed. The Shita Mugbetza says, but wait a second, the number of people that are mutter to be megaleach on Chol HaMoed is a very small number. So why is it such a great tzarech to wash the mitbechos hasaparim? And not only that, it's only that we were only matir al yidei dechia, so how do we know to be matir even the machshirei agiluach? We were matir giluach in certain circumstances, but to be matir even machshirei giluach, like cleaning off the cloths that the barbers would use. So he quotes Yesh Gorsim that it's not mitbechos hasaparim, but mitbechos hasfarim, and we're talking about the cloths that they would wrap sifrei kodesh, kisvei hakodesh in. The Shita explains they were matir that for the cover of the Svarim, that was considered a great enough tzarech in order to maintain the dignity, the kavod, the respect that we have to show to the Svarim. The Mishnah Berurah in Tavkuf Lamed Aleph Sifkanei says the reason for this heter is the same reason they're matir mitbechos hayadayim, that they're constantly using them, they're constantly getting dirty, and therefore it's not something that you wouldn't didn't wash before Chol HaMoed with the plan of washing on Chol HaMoed, you'd wash it both times. You'd wash it before Chol HaMoed, and again you'd wash it on Chol HaMoed. Hazavin vazavos, hanidos veyoldos, the Mishnah continues. Zavin, zavos, nidos, and yoldos are allowed to be mechabes on Chol HaMoed. V'chola olin mitumah l'tara, and anyone who goes from a state of tumah to a state of tara, harei elu mutarin. This is the list of people that are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. V'shar kol adam asurin, but everyone else is asur. It only works for these people, nobody else. Frankly, Gemara, v'shar kol adam my time asurin. Why is it that we have a list of who is allowed to be megaleach and mechabes on moed, and the assumption is nobody else is allowed to be megaleach and mechabes on moed? Tulsus points out what the Gemara is asking is: yes, we understand that it's a malacha to be megaleach. We understand that it's a malacha to be mechabes. But whatever happened to the covet of a moed to look beautiful, to look nice for the covet of a moed? Shouldn't that have been enough of a mitzvah? Enough of a tzorich mitzvah to allow giluach and kippus on moed? Why wouldn't we be matir it anyway for everybody to look nice on Chol HaMoed? That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, kidetnan. Just like we learned in the Mishnah, that anshei mishmer v'anshei maimed asurin l'saper l'chabes, the people of the mishmer and the people of the maimed of that week are not allowed to get haircuts or to do their laundry during the week of their mishmer and maimed, u'b'chamishi mutar m'mnei kvara Shabbos. Only on the Thursday of that week they're allowed to do so for the covet of the upcoming Shabbos. But the rest of the week, they're not allowed to take haircuts, they're not allowed to launder clothing. In that case as well, wouldn't you have assumed that it would be mutter, they should look nice for their mishmar? They're doing the avodah. How often they get a chance to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they should look their best. The anshei maimed should look their best as trying to be mefayis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be mekabel the karbanos, be meratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amar Rabbi Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Lazar, my time, Rabbi Bar Bechana, Rabbi Lazar explains, k'dei shel yichnesu l'mishmartan k'shein menuvalin, that we are afraid if we allow the anshei mishmar to get a haircut during the week of the mishmar, they're not going to get the haircut in advance of their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to come into the avodah looking unkempt, looking not nice. We want them to come in looking nice, so we tell them, you're not going to be able to get a haircut all week next week, better make sure to take care of it before your mishmar starts. Hachanami, so here as well, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, k'dei shel yichnesu l'regel k'shein menuvalin. We don't want people coming into Yantif looking disgusting. So in order to encourage them to get their haircuts before Yantif, we tell them, you're not going to be able to get your haircut on Yom Tov. The tour in Siman Tavkuf Lamed Aleph quotes Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, famous Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, who allows someone who actually did get a haircut and shave before Yom Tov to again do it on Chol HaMoed if they want. The whole knas was Kadesh L'Yichnus K'shem Nuvalim, that you shouldn't come into Yom Tov looking unkempt. So if you already took care of that, you already did shave on Erev Yom Tov, so then it should be mutter to shave on Yom Tov as well. There's no reason for a knas on such a person. That is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rov Rishonim, the Torah, the Arzurah, and others disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, and they explain that you have to be choshesh, that people who are going to see a person who's shaved on Chol HaMoed aren't going to know that he also happened to have shaved before Chol HaMoed, before Yom Tov, because right now it's not nicker that he was Megale. I mean, right now he's totally shaven. It's clear that he shaved today. I don't know when his last time shaving was before then, and they're going to think that it's Mutra Megaleach on Chol HaMoed. So that's why the Gemara is going to say in a few lines that according to Abaye, someone who loses an Aveda before Yom Tov and was therefore Ba'ones, because he had to look after his Aveda before Yom Tov, is not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, because not everyone knows that he lost an Aveda on Erev Yom Tov and that he had some sort of Ba'ones. So people aren't aware of your situation, and the fact that people aren't aware of a situation of your situation is a cause for concern for us, that they're going to think that it's mutter for everybody to shave on Chol HaMoed. So that is why most Rishonim reject Rabbeinu Tam. The Nadav Yehuda, in a famous tshuva, the Nadav Yehuda Madura Kamasim in Yigimel, talks about shaving on Chol HaMoed. Nadav Yehuda, this major heter, that he allowed shaving on Chol HaMoed, and he speaks somewhat cryptically in the tshuva. He writes, I have a secret reason that I'm not telling anybody, and he writes straight Allah also, but then he adds some secret that I have, Yesh Soditi, that we have to be Mekel, and we have to allow allow people to shave on Chol HaMoed. Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Ani Holech Rachil Megala Sod. I'm going to reveal the secret. I know exactly why the Nodeb Yehuda felt it was so necessary to be Mekel, because people in times of the Nodeb Yehuda were not careful about the Yisr Daraisa of shaving with a razor, and the Nodeb Yehuda held that that the Yisr Daraisa is only if the hair grew to a certain length. But if the hair is still just very, very close stubble, then it would only be an Issur Darabanan to shave with a razor. It wouldn't be an Issur Daraisa to shave with a razor. So he held that if you let people go with a week of growth, and you tell them that they're only going to be allowed to shave after the week, they're all going to violate the Issur Daraisa as soon as Yom Tov is over, because their hair is going to be long enough to shave with a razor. So better to violate the Issur Darabanan of shaving on Chol HaMoed if they're going to be shaving with a razor anyway. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes. No, the Yehuda doesn't say that. He just says, I have a secret reason why I have to be Mekel. But in the context of discussing the issue of shaving on Chol HaMoed, Nodeb Yehuda deals with Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, which would obviously be a major element of any heter, because Rabbeinu Tam is the one that says it's okay to shave on Chol HaMoed as long as you shave before Chol HaMoed. And he explains that Rabbeinu Tam was only matir al yedei poel ani she'in lo malechel, that someone who's going to be a barber who doesn't have what to eat, who needs the parnasa, that you don't have to be choshesh for people who see him after the giluach, that it looks like he shaved now in Moed, and they're not going to know that he shaved also before Yontif, because those who live in his town already saw him at the beginning of Yontif, so they know what he's up to. And the guests that come to the town, you don't have to be choshesh for guests that they're going to get the wrong impression. But he says that is someone who's megaleach kodem regel, he doesn't have a tzorach kol kach legaleach. He doesn't really need to shave so much because he just shaved. So we should ask him mishum minister malacha. And that's why it's only mutra li de povelani. That's why it's a meaning. Technically speaking, there would be no real issue. There should be no real reason to aser it, because after all, there's not really going to be a marasayan issue. No one's going to think anything, or very few people will think anything. But it's not really so necessary. So why would you just shave before Yantav? Why would you shave now? That's why it's only mutra li de povelani. That's how the Nodeb Yehuda explains the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. By Rabbi Zera. So the Mishnah had identified certain types of onus, things that you had going on before Yantiv that made you unable to shave in advance for Yantiv, and therefore you're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. What if you have some sort of onus that's not mentioned in the Mishnah? Is that also enough of a reason to shave on Chol HaMoed, to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed? So by Rabbi Zera, Avdala Aveda Erev HaRegel. What if a person lost an Aveda on Erev HaRegel? So he was busy trying to find his Aveda. Kivan Da'anis Mutter, Adomu Kivan Lo Milchum Milsalo. Do we say that since it was an onus, it was a situation that was beyond his control, therefore it's mutter? Or do we say, no, not everyone is going to realize that he was someone who was Avdalo Aveda, and therefore it should be Asir? Amr Abayi Yomur Kala Srik and Asur and Srike Baitus Mutar. And that's an expression the Gemara has, that we try not to have different sets of halachos for different people. So if something is Asur for one person, it's got to be Asur for everybody. We don't want people to think that there are different sets of rules for different people. Ul Taimech, says the Gemara, is that really a principle we can apply over here? Had Amr Avasi Yomur Biyokhran Kal Mishen Loel Lechalik Echon Mutar Lechabsu Bechol Shomoid. We said that someone who only has one set of clothing is allowed to launder his clothing on Cholomoid. Aren't people going to get the impression in that situation as well that there are different sets of rules for different people? No, in the situation of someone who only has one set of clothing, it will be obvious while he's doing the laundry from the fact that he's in his underwear. Everyone's going to realize that obviously he doesn't have another set of clothing because he's not wearing any clothing while he's doing his laundry. Ravashi taught the conversation as follows. That by Rabbi Zeira's shaila was Uman Sha Avdalo Aveda Erev HaRegel Mahu. The shaila is specifically about an Uman, a barber, let's say, who's very busy on Erev Yantif. Everyone's coming to get their haircuts, and they see that he was Avdalo Aveda, and therefore he was an Anus, and he couldn't be Mesei, he didn't even have time to get his own haircut. So what's his halacha? Kivan to Umanu Mucha Milsa. Do we assume that since he's an Uman, it's Mucha Milsa, everyone's going to know that he had an Onus, because everyone's in in a store on Erev Yantif, so the whole world knows what his situation is. He's sitting there schmoozing with all of his customers as he's giving them the haircuts, and he's telling them about this Aveda that he lost. So everyone's going to know about the Aveda that he lost because he's such a public figure on Erev Yantif. Or maybe it's not quite as mucha chamilsa as someone who was just let out of jail or someone who just came in Medina Sayam, and therefore that wouldn't be a good enough reason to allow him to shave in Cholamoid. Take with the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Now it's interesting, this sugya is used as a raya in a discussion about Tfilas Tashlumin. Well, what discussion of Tfilas Tashlumin? We're familiar with the Allah in Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, Misach Brach, Mishnah, that someone who forgets to daven is allowed to be mashlim the Tfilah in the next Tfilah by saying two times Shemona Esrei. But that's only if a person forgot to daven b'shogeg, he didn't daven. But if a person b'mezid chose not to daven, say, I'm not in the mood to daven, well, he doesn't have the opportunity for Tfilas Tashlumin. Trumas Hadeshen raises the question, or was asked the question, depending on how you understand whether Trumas Hadeshen actually was asked these questions or he made up his own questions, but the Trumas Hadeshen Simon Hay discusses someone who missed out on Tfilas Mincha because he was in the middle of a negotiation of trying to get out of some sort of payment that he had to make. He was in the middle of negotiating a business deal where he was going to save a lot of money, and the negotiations extended past the Zman of Mincha. Does he have the right to daven Tfilas Tashlumin, or do we assume that that's considered a mezid? Do we consider that an ones? It was only money, or do we consider it a mezid? So he says, the Shmuel Deshen writes, that even though someone who's mezid and doesn't daven does not have the opportunity for Tashlumin, it's a muvus l'yuchal iskon, this situation is more like an ones, less like a mezid. He has the right to daven Tfilas Tashlumin. How do I know? He says, I know it from our sugya. Rabbi Zeira is not sure. Someone who's avid aveda on Erev Haregel, someone who loses an object on Erev Yom Tov, and because of that, because he's looking for it, he didn't have time to get a haircut, lekavod haregel, should we say that since he has to look for his aveda, he's an anus, and therefore he can get a haircut on regel? Or what's the flip side? So I would say the flip side is, that's not an ones, you lost an aveda, big deal, that's just money. Who cares about, we're talking about an isser of shaving on Yantif. That's not the flip side though. The flip side is, the Gemara's other svara is, maybe we shouldn't be mechalik because people are going to think that everyone's allowed to get a haircut on Yantif because not everyone's going to be familiar with his situation. But you see that anyone's mevatel mitzvah letzarech mamon in order that he shouldn't come to a hefsid, in order that he shouldn't come to a loss of money, it's like someone who didn't get a haircut lekavod haregel because he was busy looking for his aveda. That's considered an ones, even though he had a dvar mitzvah to do to look nice for yantif. But it was an ones because he was looking for his money. So he says the same is true. Someone who's mevatel tefillah for the sake of a business deal that he had going on, and he says another raya is from the Gemara in Brach. The Gemara says that you have to honor even a Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning because of an ones. That even someone who due to ones isn't as great a Talmud Chacham as he used to be, still have to honor him. Rashi says, what's machmas onso? What does it mean he forgot his learning, machmas onso? So I would have said, well, he got old and he got ill or something like that. It's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that he forgot his learning because of he was nitrad b'tareach dovchak mizonos. He had to make a living and he had to work for a living, so he forgot a lot of his learning because he was busy trying to put food on the table. So you see, being involved in earning a living is considered an ones because it's either a dvar mitzvah or an ones, and therefore that because it's such a significant responsibility, that's considered an ones. Now Tshuva Sedeshin just ends the tshuva by saying yes, but this is not about making more money, this is about not coming lidei hefsid. That if a person is going to lose money, so that might be considered an ones legabei tfilas tashlumin, but if it's about making extra money, there's no such thing as extra money, it's never extra, right? But if it's about making more money, then maybe that would not be considered an ones, similar to what we talk about when it comes to davara aved. Okay, mi medina seyam, the Mishnah had said someone who comes from medina seyam is allowed to be megaleach on chol hamoed. Masnisin to lok Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Domer, Abba mi medina seyam lo yigaleach mnei sheyatzah shlo bereshus. Someone who comes from medina seyam is not allowed to be megaleach, Rabbi Yehuda says, because he decided to travel. So that's not an ones. The guy decides he wants to travel before Yantav, and therefore he couldn't be megaleach. Well, whose problem is that? That's his own choice. Amar Rava. So Rava said, well, let's see. It depends on what type of travel he's doing. Lashut divrei akol aser. If he's tam, just enjoying going on a spazier, a vacation, so then of course it's aser for him to be megaleach on chol hamoed with the excuse that he was traveling before Yom Tov. Lemezonos divrei akol muter. If he was traveling because he needed to put food on the table, and so it was necessary for him to travel, then everyone would know that it's mutter for him to be megaleach on chol hamoed. Lo nechluku ella laharvicha. The whole machlokas is a guy who has plenty of money, but he wants more money. It's not that he needed to put food on the table. He wanted to travel to make a little extra money because he wants to do well in business. So mar medami lekaloshut and mar medami lekalimazonos. So the question is that considered more like a vacation, or is that considered more like a necessary business trip? Meisvei amar Rebbe nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda kashiyata shelo berushos. The Gemara says, wait a second, we just said that the machlokas between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda is in a case where a guy is traveling for harvacha. That's the whole case of the machlokas. Is that really the case of the machlokas? We have the following conversation where Rabbi says that he thinks Rabbi Yehuda is correct when he's yatza shalo b'rishos, when a person goes stam without rishos. We'll see in a moment what that means. V'divrei chacham, and that the chacham are correct k'shiyatza b'rishos. The implication is that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the chacham applies to both cases, and we're paskening like one in a case where you yatza b'rishos, we're paskening like the other in a case where you yatza shlo b'rishos. So it's not such a limited machlokas, only in certain circumstances. It seems that the machlokas is fairly broad. Now, my shlo b'rishos, what does shlo b'rishos mean? Ilei melashkot, if shlo b'rishos means you're stam going to enjoy yourself, v'amr tivrei akol aser, there shouldn't even have been a machlokas in that case. Everyone holds its aser in that case. Vel lemezonos, shalom b'rishos must mean that you're going for a business trip. V'amr tivrei akol mutter. There should be no machlokas in that case either, because everyone says mutter. El pshita larvicha, shalom b'rishos must mean that you're going to make extra money. That in-between case where it's not a vacation, but it's also not a necessary business trip. Ema seifa, but then it goes on to say, nirin divrei chachamim kishe yatza b'rishos, that a case of yatza b'rishos, the machlokas still applies, and we paskin like the chachamim. Well, my b'rishos, what does b'rishos mean? Ilei milimizonos, if b'rishos means to put food on the table, hamar divrei kol mutter, there never should have been a machlokas in that case. Everyone agrees it's mutter. Vel larvicha, so it must be that b'rishos means that you're going to make extra money. V'amar nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, but we just said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when you're going to make extra money. You can't then say in the next line you pass the chum when you're going to make extra money. So what's going on over here? Answers Gemara Baha Hachi Kamar. Nirin Div Rabbi Yehuda Li Rabbanon Kishiyatza Shlo B'Rishos. What we mean to say is that even the Rabbanon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that it's usher to be Megaleach when you're Yotze Shlo B'Rishos. Which means that you go stam for a vacation. Even the Rabbanon would be molded, there's no machlokas. Not that we're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda against the Rabbanon, but that the Rabbanon never would have even argued in that case. The Chacham themselves only argued on Rabbi Yehuda in a case where you're making extra money. But if you're just going stam for your own enjoyment, then they would be molded. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the Rabbanan that when you're Yotzi Bereshus, you're allowed to be Megaleach. My Nihu, what does it mean Yotzi Bereshus L'mezonos, where you need to put food on the table? Shafil Rabbi Yehuda L'nechlek Aleim El Larvicha, because the only case where they argue is the case where you're going to make extra money. Avul Mazonus Modulu, but if it's for your basic sustenance, then everyone would agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're allowed to be Megaleach on Moed. Amar Shmuel, new discussion. Katan and Nolad b'moed, mutal galeach b'moed. If a child is born on Moed, so he's allowed to be Megaleach on Chol Moed. He's allowed to get a haircut. A very hairy child, apparently, he's allowed to get a haircut on Moed. She'en l'cha beis ha'asurin gadol mizeh, because the Mishnah says someone who's yotzei mi beis ha'asurin is allowed to be Megaleach. So apparently, in l'cha beis ha'asurin gadol mizeh, this would fit into the category of yotzei mi beis ha'asurin. Some of the Rishonim say, you see from that expression, that in l'cha beis ha'asurin gadol mizeh is that we must paskin that the only type of onus that's going to allow you to be megaleach is one of the categories in the Mishnah. Meaning we don't say that this is also a good svara because he was onus. He couldn't get a haircut before he was born because he wasn't born yet. No, we say it has to fit into one of the categories in the Mishnah. We have to say, he's a yotzim beis ha'asurin. And therefore someone has some other onus that's not yotzim beis ha'asurin that doesn't fit into any of the categories in the Mishnah would not be allowed. But b'moed in meikar lo, the Gemara says that the implication is that only if the child was born on moed, he's allowed to be megalech. But any other child who's born before moed is not allowed to be megalech. Masrei Pinchas, Rav Pinchas says, wait a second. Kalelu shomer mutal legalech b'moed mutal legalech b'meyevlo. Anyone who's allowed to be megalech on chol moed is also allowed to be megalech during his avelus. But ha'asul legalech b'moed asul legalech b'meyevlo. The diuk that one could make from that is that anyone who's not allowed to be megalech on moed is also not allowed to be megalech b'meyevlo. Now we're suggesting that a child is not allowed to be megalech on moed. He's only allowed to be megalech on moed if he was born on chol moed. The implication is that every other child that was born before Yantif is not allowed to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed. And therefore it would follow, he's not allowed to be Megaleach b'Yemei Avlo either, that as an Avel he's not allowed to be Megaleach. V'i, Amar Katan Ispei Plukta, Nimtseis Avelus Noeges B'Katan, if you're going to say that we're going to make such a chilik between a child born on Yantif and before Yantif, it would turn out that Avelus is Noeg in a Katan, that a Katan is not allowed to be Megaleach. V'atanyim, Mekarin L'Katan, V'Neagmas Nefesh, but we learned in the Brisa that even Kriya, when we do it for a Katan, when we tear Kriya for a Katan, it's only for the sake of Agmas Nefesh that we tear Kriya for a Katan. What does it mean, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh? Rashi explains, Sheyivku Aroen V'yirbu B'kvod Ameis V'lo Mipnei Shuavel, that when people see that a person has a torn beged, it's going to cause them a heartbreak. And we want other people's hearts to be broken when Nebuch a Katan has to be an Avel. He doesn't have to, he has no din of Avelus, but we want people to feel bad for him and people to be heartbroken about it. That's why we do Kriya. But he himself, the child himself, has no dinim of Avelus. So how can we say that anyone who's not allowed to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed is not allowed to be Megaleach b'Yemei Avlo? And that would seem to include a Katan. A Katan has no dinim of Avelus to begin with. Amar Rav Ashi, mi katani ha asurin, dilmi yeshman asav yeshman mutter. No, remember what the original statement was. The original statement was, anyone who's allowed to be megaleach b'moed is allowed to be megaleach b'meyevlo. We made a diuk, must mean also that anyone who's not allowed to be megaleach b'moed is not allowed to be megaleach b'meyevlo. Didn't say that, never said that. So that may not be true. It could be that there are people that are not allowed to be megaleach b'moed, like a katan, but are allowed to be megaleach b'meyevlo because they don't have any dinim of avelus. It's a fascinating Tshuva of Moshe as an Igros Moshe, where he discusses the well-known minhag that people have of there is a halach in Shulchan Aruch that when one sees the Makom HaMikdash for the first time in a while, the halach is that one has to tear kriya when you see the Makom HaMikdash. There is a minhag, anyone in Yerushalayim knows this minhag, that if you see the Makom HaMikdash for the first time after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos, we don't tear kriya. Doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch and any Rishonim anywhere. No one knows where that minhag came from. So Rav Moshe discusses, is there any svara for such a minhag that not to tear Kriya? It seems very widely accepted. Chazanish says, I don't know where this comes from. It was invented in recent generations. And he says, I understand. Mi plaga mincha ve'eloch, if you're mekabel Shabbos after plaga mincha, so it's Shabbos for you, I understand, then you don't do Kriya. But Chatzos, what does Chatzos have? You can't even be mekabel Shabbos yet. What kind of chatzos? So Moshe writes in the tshuva that maybe we could justify the minhag. He says there's a svara to the minhag. The svara is in Or Chaim Chelukei Simon Lamed Zayin. He writes this. He says the svara is our Gemara says that we're makarin lekatan because of agmas nefesh. What does agmas nefesh mean? It doesn't mean that while you're tearing it's agmas nefesh. Kriya apparently is something that causes agmas nefesh later on, not while you're doing the actual maisa only, but even afterwards when people see the beged karua. So people are going to see the katan with the beged karua, and it's going to cause agmas nefesh. Says Rav Moshe, if you're within range of Shabbos, you're so close to Shabbos, and you're going to tear kriya, we're afraid of the agmas nefesh that it's going to cause on Shabbos. And that's a svara. Rav Moshe says, is that the reason the minhag developed? I have no idea. But he says, the rule is, when there's a minhag that people observe, and there's a svara for it, whether it's the svara that they use or not the svara that they use, whether it appears in earlier sources or not, if there's a svara that makes sense, you're not allowed to be mevatel the minhag. That's the minhag, you observe the minhag. So that's how Rav Moshe justifies this practice. They taught the following. Amar Shmuel, katan mutar legalcha b'moed, losh anol b'moed, losh anol meyikara. That a katan is allowed to be megalecha b'moed whenever he was born. Amar of Pinchas Avin and Amitani, and then we brought the Brice as a raya, that we said, kalel shomer mutar legalecha b'moed, mutar legalecha b'meyavlo. That everyone is allowed to be megalecha and chol b'moed is also allowed to be megalecha as novel. Ha asur legalecha b'moed, asur legalecha b'meyavlo. We make the same deal. So someone who's not allowed to be megalecha and chol b'moed is not allowed to be megalecha as an avel. And if we were to say that a katan can't be megaleich and chalam oed, it would turn out that we would have to observe avelus for a katan also. But we know that there is no avelus for a katan. Even the kriya we only do for the sake of promoting a sense of agmas nefesh for the katan. Amar Ravashi, and Ravashi rejects the raya. In this version, it's a raya, not a kasha. Mi katani ha asurin. Dilma Yeshman Asr Yeshman Mutter. It doesn't say anywhere that anyone who's Asr to be Megaleich and Chalamoid is automatically Asr to Legaleich Mimei Avlo. That was our own Diuk, and maybe that Diuk is inaccurate. Avel Eino Noeg Aveluso Beregel. We say about an Avel, new topic, that an Avel does not observe his Avelus on Yomtov. Shenemar, how do I know that he can't observe Avelus on Yomtov? Pasuk says, Visamachto Bechagecha. So I Avel, he has a mitzvah of Simcha on Yomtov. If he was an Avel before Yantiv, so the Asei de Rabim of Simchas Yantiv should be Doche, the Asei de Yachid of Avelus. Tosus points out, forget about Asei de Yachid. If Avelus were only Drabanan, we should say the Asei de Raisa should be Doche, the Asei de Rabanan. That Simchas Yantiv is Da Raisa, should be Doche Avelus Drabanan. Tosus points out in the top, Mashma da Avelus Ika Asei de Raisa. It must be that there's an Asei de Raisa of Avelus. From the fact that we don't say that we're being Doche Drabanan by Avelus. We just said a couple of dapim ago that you may evlo drabanan. That was talking about doing malacha be you may evlo. Doing malacha as an avel is only drabanan, but the general concept of avelus is d'oraisa. But then Tosfos says, you know what? Maybe avelus is really drabanan. Why don't we say that the asei d'oraisa of Simchas Yantav is docha the drabanan of avelus? Who says Simchas Yamtov is Daraisa? Nearly, the Simchas Aregel Nami Drabanan. Visamachta, I know Bishalme Simcha. When the Pasuk says Visamachta Bechagecha, that's talking about Shalme Simcha. But general Simchas Yamtov, maybe that's only Drabanan, Tosfos suggests. The major machlokas is between Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam says very clearly otherwise. The Rambam holds in Hilchas Yamtov, Perek Vav, Alach Hazayin, that Mitzvah Simchas Aregel is also Mida Araisa, even without the karbanos, even without shalmei simcha. Says the Gemara, v'i avelus tahashtu, and if a person becomes an avel on Yom Tov, lo asi asei diyachid, v'dach yasei derabim, his personal asei is not going to be doche, the asei derabim of Simchas Yom Tov. Menuda maushi yinog niduyo beregel. What about a person who's in nidui? Can he observe his nidui on Yom Tov? Amar of Yosef Tashema, dan dinin fashv dinim makas dinim amunis, we're done these types of dinim, v'i lo tzayis dinam misham tinin lein. If a person doesn't want to listen to our psak din, we have to put him in a shamta, in a cherim, v'isal kadai dechen noig nidui beregel, mushmat vasi meikara, asi regel dachle, hashem misham tinin lein anan. It wouldn't make sense if a person is not knowing his nidui and regel, so someone who was in nidui from before Yom Tov, the nidui goes away, and we're going to put someone in either Meikara and Yantif? How does that work? Maybe it doesn't mean that we actually judge the cases on Yantif. Maybe it just means we start to analyze. And you have to say that's what it means, because it says we do Dine Nefashos. Do you think we actually kill people on Yantif? That can't be. Why can't we kill people on Yantif with Dine Nefashos? Because it's going to hold us back from experiencing Simchas Yom Tov. Why is it going to hold us back? So you would think, because you're killing a person, that's very sad. No, that's not why it's going to hold you back from Simchas Yom Tov. Well, the reason it's going to hold you back is the Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Minayin Sanhedrin, Shargua Sanefesh, Shein Tom in Kolos Ayom. The Sanhedrin that's killing somebody is not allowed to eat that day. That's why it's going to hold them back from Simchas Yom Tov. How do we know that? Tamal Omer Lo Sochlu Al Adam. Because the Pasuk says, Lo Sochlu Al Adam, so therefore we see that there's an iser to eat on the day that they're going to kill someone. The Ritva writes that the iser to eat is only in the Sidra Abanan. The pasuk is an asmachta. The Karanara just points out that's very shver, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel refers to the Sokhla Adam as a lav shebechlados, that there are a lot of isurim daraisa learned from the same pasuk. The Gemara uses the Sokhla Adam in Brachos to teach that you're not supposed to eat kodem shehispalal al damchem, before you daven. The person's not supposed to eat. A lot of things we learn from this pasuk of Sokhla Adam. But it makes it sound like it's a daraisa, not only drabanan. So the Gemara says, no, must mean by din and fashos that we're just looking into the din, but not that we're actually coming to a psakten. So the same is true over here. No, but if that's the case, it's going to turn out that we're delaying the din because we're already looking into it, but we're not going to come to a psakten until much later, also till after Yontif. So I answer the Gemara, asu mitzafra ma'ayne b'dinei. In the morning they come and they're ma'ayin into the din, va'ayli va'achli v'shasu kula yoma, and they can still celebrate and eat a normal yantuf meal, va'hadar asu b'shkiyas hachama v'garminu l'dinei v'katulei. And then they come back at shkiyas hachama, and they have a gemar din, and that's when they actually kill him, at the gemar din at shkiyas hachama. But that way it won't stir the simchus yantuf too much. Amar abayi tashma, abayi still bring a raya, u'menuda she'yitiru lo chachamim. It says, menuda she'yitiru lo chachamim. So we assume that they're matir kol need every nidui, their nidui and regal, that there's no nidui and regal. So this is a raya, that there's no nidui and regal at all. Amar Rava, Rava says it's not a raya. Mi katani sheetiru chacham, sheetiru lo chacham katani. It says that they were matired for him, which implies the azul paisil baldine, vasekami draban visharule. Not that it's an automatic, that they're automatically matir all niduyim. It's that this person happened to have been mefayis, is baldin, and therefore they were matirits specifically for him, but it's not something that goes across the board. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the conversation of Mitzora tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.